Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, guys? We are officially going live now. This is Dave Mate from Circle of Drink and Yerba Mate Land. And today we're just keeping it simple, a very simple Yerba Mate. I want to say about 36 or so Yerba Mate brands that vary from very weak, very light mate, not too strong to medium, very strong. And when I use this term strength today, I am not necessarily referring to the taste on the body, but more referring to the mental stimulation and the physical stimulation that these various brands have an effect on the body. But I just want to make it clear, guys, that this is all very personal, subjective. It's not a categorically stated list of weak mates to strong mates. So it really will vary from person to person. Some of the mates that I discuss and label as weak, light mates, they may be very strong for other people and vice versa. Of course, this video is for educational purposes only. Please consult your own doctors if you have any questions about herbs or any supplements you want to consume. All right, guys, so whoever's listening in who wants to actually join and say something about Yerba Mate brands that you love, give us a call at 917-889-9947. I am not going to actually do a presentation this time. I'm just going to keep it live, keep it open, keep it fresh. So whoever wants to call in or jump in onto this Mate Circle, you're more than welcome to. That's what this is all about. For those of you who are just tuning in and learning about Yerba Mate, you're in the right place. Circle of Drink has dedicated many years of focusing time and effort and passion, really, on sharing Yerba Mate and spreading Yerba Mate throughout the world, more so than any of the products that we sell. More so than any of our websites, we have two, CircleTheDrink.com and YerbaMateLand.com. More than any of those amazing things, we're really here just to share Yerba Mate and to elevate ourselves internally and externally and bring people together. That's what this is really all about. That's what this circle is. And here we are. We're having an online Yerba Mate circle where people just come together, drink Yerba Mate. I like to drink it traditionally. And just talk about amazing things. So let's just start off by, I'm just going to give you guys my little story on what I think goes on when in terms of different mates and different strengths. Now, as you guys know already, many of you at least know that there are three principal stimulating compounds or stimulating properties of yerba mate. But the most important, I don't want to say the most important one, but the one that is most recognizable, I guess you could say, is caffeine. So theoretically, a mate that has higher levels of caffeine will give you a higher level of stimulation. But we have to take into account that the caffeine in yerba mate seems to work differently than the caffeine in tea, and then the caffeine in coffee, and the caffeine in anything else. The only other plant that I found ever to have caffeine that works somewhat similar to the caffeine found in mate, I would say that's guarana seed. I'm not surprised because the indigenous tribes of South America also highly revered guarana seed for its stimulating effects. And scientists are just starting to find out now that even though guarana has two times the amount of caffeine found in coffee, we're talking dry weight now, percentage of dry weight of the herb, it actually is slow releasing and doesn't promote any jittery and crashing effects. And on top of that, it has high levels of antioxidants. So guarana is something you want to look into as well if you're interested in yerba mate. I like to mix the two together to make different blends. Look into that. So one simple experiment, if you want to prove to yourself that the caffeine in yerba mate works differently than the caffeine in coffee, would be to drink equal amounts of both beverages and see how you feel. You know, drink 32 ounces of mate. See how you feel. Take notes. And then wait a day so you don't confuse the results. Wait at least a day to let your body clear. And then the next day, drink 32 ounces of coffee and see how you feel. And you'll notice that over time, and if you're lucky, some of you will notice immediately, that the caffeine in yerba mate actually seems to be very slow releasing, doesn't produce any jittery effects. It doesn't make you nervous and anxious. A lot of people have a high sensitivity to caffeine, particularly by drinking coffee and soda and things like that. Surprisingly find out that when they start to drink yerba mate, two things happen. Two very interesting things happen. And I'm speaking generally here. I'm not speaking about everybody, but just generally here. Number one, they start to feel better. You know, they start to feel this sense of clarity, this sense of well-being. There is no jittery effects. There is no crashing effects. And number two, they start to drink less coffee, significantly less coffee. Now, I don't know how mate is able to achieve this. I've never heard of any scientists explaining how mate is able to achieve this, so we don't know. I have theories, and I guess I'll give you a couple theories. One theory is that caffeine coupled with high amounts of chlorogenic acid, I think that mate might have the highest amount of chlorogenic acid in any herb that we know, at least, that we drink as a stimulating beverage. I think that when mate is combined with things like chlorogenic acid and combined with other compounds like saponin, you have this sort of entourage effect of herbs that allow mate to be very intelligent. It's not as clumsy as coffee. Coffee doesn't seem to have these other these other compounds that actually regulate or modulate the caffeine. The caffeine in coffee is more clumsy. It just hits you hard. For the first 15 minutes, you're going to have a boost in cognition, a boost in memory, a boost in analytical skills. You're just going to have a boost. But as you'll notice, after 15 to 20 minutes, you're going to plateau. And then as you keep on drinking more and more coffee throughout the day, you just have this really weird kind of nasty effect of getting anxious and just feeling jittery and feeling burnt out. And you just feel the need that you have to keep on drinking more coffee. It's a vicious cycle. With yerba mate, you could just keep on drinking it. Most people continue to drink yerba mate all day long from the time they wake up in the morning, the time literally, just like myself, literally before I go to sleep, I'll just take down some more gourds and I'll sleep like a baby. No problem. And I'll wake up the next day and mate will help me wake up. And then the next day, you know, time I go to sleep again, mate will help put me to sleep. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it does. It just does it. So let's get into it, guys. I'm not going to do a formal presentation. I'm just going to start to list off some of these brands and categorize them. But just to finish out what I was saying about caffeine, let's talk about the actual plant now. Ilex paraguayensis, holly plant, yerba mate. Now, depending on what season of the year that the mate is harvested. Usually, mate is harvested about twice a year, sometimes once a year, in the wintertime and the summertime. And I'm talking about South American winters, South American summers, which are the opposite of our summers and winters here in New York. So in wintertime, mate doesn't produce as much caffeine as it does in summertime. This is probably because in the summertime, when the mate is exposed to more sunlight, direct sunlight, mind you, the plant wants to protect itself, and in doing so, it produces more caffeine to protect itself from the extra exposure from the sun. That produces more stimulating effects. Now, when the mate is produced in the winter and harvested in the winter, it has less caffeine. And then we also have mate that's shade grown and sun grown. Some mate is partially grown in the shade, and some mate is grown almost fully in the shade under the forest canopy. And then you have other mates, most of the mates I would say, that are grown in just a monocrop with full sun exposure. So the mates that are grown in shade or partial shade usually produce less caffeine because they have less exposure to the sun. But what they lose in caffeine, they make up for, in my opinion, a more floral taste, a more fruity taste. A good example of this is guayaki. It appears to me that their mate is either partially or fully shade grown due to the floralness, the fruity body of it. So study that mate if you want to get a good example of this fruitiness I'm talking about. Another example would be Anna Park, which is an organic mate from Argentina. If you study that mate, you will come to pick up these signature fruity tastes. That's because they actually grow that mate in a nature reserve under the forest canopy, and it is being less exposed to the sun, and it's also interacting with other native species and other native plants. So that's another good example of a shade-grown mate with less caffeine but higher floral taste. All right, guys. So I'm just going to take a look at my list that I compiled that you guys will actually be able to download this chart. I'm not going to show it to you right now. You'll be able to download it after this presentation. But I implore you just to investigate each one of these mates that I list off. Try to purchase them if you're really interested in mate and want to figure out, you know, what I'm talking about here, firsthand experience. I'll tell you, you know, you got nothing to lose. If you're interested in mate, just jump in, dive right in. I like to think of mate as wine. You could drink so many different types, appreciate so many different brands. You don't just have to stick with one brand, one company. Just have fun and explore. There's so much out there. Salud. All right, guys. So I'm going to start off listing some weak mates. And remember, when I say weak, I'm not talking about ineffective. I'm just talking about these mates have less stimulating properties. That's all. It doesn't take anything else away from the mate. The mate still tastes delicious. The mate still has all the compounds and beneficial chemicals that you want in your body. So please don't misconstrue this term weak. I'm just using it as my own opinion on the stimulating effects of the mate. So I'm not going to list them all. I'm just going to list some primary ones that I think that you should try. And I'm just going to give you a little, I guess, mini review on the ones that I do list. And again, guys, feel free if anyone wants to call in. Our number is 917-889-9947. Call in, share some information with us. Those of you guys watching this on YouTube, you will be able to download this Yerba Mate Strength Guide in the description box once this is published. And those of you guys that are watching this on Google Plus, I'll be updating the page with this Yerba Mate Strength Guide. All right, guys, get out your pens, get out your pads, let's go. So let's start off with some. I would say weak mate, very bready, very light. It's a mate that's great for beginners. You're not going to get that boost, that hit in the head of strength. Amanda Premium. Doesn't really overstimulate you. And just to list several other ones. In the States, I would say Ecotea's Unsmoked is another one. An interesting one is called Plashadito, Playadito. I believe that translates into small beach, Plashadito. Now, this mate has a high amount of palos. The palos are the white twigs. Now, usually speaking, safe to assume that any mate that has a high amount of palos, the little white twigs, is always going to be lighter. It's always going to be weaker. Why is that? That's because the caffeine is not concentrated in the palos. Caffeine is concentrated in the leaf. So when you have a mate that has a lot of palos, it's going to be weaker. And when you have a mate that has a lot of leaves, not only fully, you know, chunky leaves, the ones that are cut into like medium pieces, but also powdery leaves, just pure powder or polvo, you're usually going to have a stronger mate because all those chemicals have been released. The cell walls have been broken up. The powdery the mate is, and the more caffeine and theobromine and theophylline. Weak mate. One of my favorite weak mates, I would say, is Union Suave. I think very nice mate. Check that out. And another weak mate that's also very delicious is Jimangu, and that's spelled Ximango, Jimangu. And this is a traditional Brazilian mate, chimarrão mate, super powdery. Love it. Has a great following. As I always say, I'm not the biggest fan of gaucho mates. Some people offer them on yerbamateland.com. To be honest, they're not my everyday mate, only because, you know, it takes extra time to prepare them. And I got nothing against taking my time. I love preparing mate, the tradition of it. But with these particular super powdery Brazilian brands, you know, sometimes you just don't want to spend all this time playing around with your bombicha and playing around with the water hole and the mounted of mate. If you're not familiar with those terms, stick around. You're going to be learning about those over the next couple of weeks. But if you're looking for a very light mate that's also malty, and if you're willing to spend a little bit extra time with the right bombicha and the right gourd and the right technique to get it done properly when you're making it the traditional way, I would definitely check out Jimangu. All right, guys, moving along. What's up, Dan? You got a couple viewers? All right, Dan, just watching. That's cool. If you want to jump in, definitely jump in. So, yep. What's going on, man? What's going on?
So I figured I'd jump on real quick.
Nice.
That's why I had the video up. How's it going, man?
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Hello.
Drive safe, man.
That's right, man.
We're talking about some strength. Yeah, okay, cool. You just want to watch? No problem. So,
all right. I'll join back when I get home, man.
All right, brother. Thanks for chiming in. So we're just talking about the medium mates now. I'm just going to start to list a few. We're going to start with Ascension, which is a Paraguayan mate from Circle of Drink. Paraguayan mates typically have these sort of sour notes to them. I don't usually recommend Paraguayan mates if you're a total beginner unless you're really ready for an experience because, like I said, they are a little bit sour. They are a little bit unusual in terms of their taste profile. They have a lot of tobacco taste, chocolate taste, you know, this sort of kaleidoscopic profile of taste. Moving along, Cruz de Malta is another medium body mate. This is definitely one of my favorite medium body mates right now. Kind of hard to get if you live in the States right now. Sort of smoky. The effects, I would say, are in between something like Eco Teas and Galaxy. It's not going to be too light. It's not going to be too strong. Moving along, Guayaquil, I think, offers some very good medium mates. They have two different principal varieties, San Mateo, which I believe is their pure yerba mate from Brazil, and then they have their Guayaquil Traditional. And I believe that mate is basically a blend of different sources of mate from different countries. Kraus Gaucho is definitely a nice medium mate. My buddy over in South America, Milton Kraus, they produce this mate. The Gaucho one is the one that you want to go with if you're looking for a medium body. If you're looking for one that's a little bit lighter, I didn't mention it before, but I will now. Definitely check out Kraus Organic and Kraus Pio Nero. Those are the lighter ones. From what I remember, the Pio Nero is called La Esquina de las Flores, which means the corner of flower, so the flower. Yeah, we're just keeping it real, man. You know, just this is what the Mate Circle is. Just people coming together, talking about things. And we got who do we got? Pedro?
Yeah.
What's up, Pedro? What's going on? You want to share some mates with us? Which one is that? It's called Gaucho.
Yeah.
I never heard of it. Okay, but the mate, it's actually called Gaucho?
Yes, the name of the mate is Gaucho.
Oh, wow. Okay, and it's from Brazil, you said?
Yes.
And what's the name of the company? Go ahead, man.
The
Chevro
Mate, like
the
normal Brazilian style mate, not like the Uruguayan spot from Brazil, but cut for Uruguayan. Is it more traditional?
Yeah, more traditional, but they don't want the...
Like Shimango.
Okay. What do you guys think about Shimango? Have you guys had that?
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I actually bought that not too long ago from you a day
nice.
And spread it out. And I really like that. The first part I had, I wasn't sure I was going to like it.
Yeah.
Because it's completely different than like what I've been used to, Canaria, Rosamonte. And then having it, my second word, I really liked it. Such a mellow, smooth taste.
Right.
I really do.
And do you have any problems with preparing it since it's so powdery, or no? You got it all down packed now.
I've been drinking mate for probably 20 plus years, and so I had the right Mobija, the one with the one fit for Brazilian gourd. So that worked out fine. Yeah, I didn't have any problems. Just prepared it the way I think I saw either yours or what's the other guy that
Steven.
Did like a video for you about
Steven.
The Brazilian mate.
Steven Bentley.
Yeah.
Nice.
Method.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, a lot of people are starting to try to get into the whole Shimango and the I never pronounce it right. You speak Portuguese, right?
I speak
Portuguese. Okay, good. How do you pronounce the Shimahau? The Shimahau?
I don't know what it comes to.
Yeah, that nasal aspect of it. It's like Shimahau. Shimahau. Like a ho. Shimahau. Shimahau. Okay. Okay. And Pedro, tell us about a week mate. It's called Yerba Mate? Pedro, you're breaking up a little bit. Could you tell us the name of that wheat mate from Brazil again? What is it called?
Erva
Mate. Okay. You'll have to write it down for me later, the actual brand, so I can share it with everybody. There's probably an error where you can write it. So I think one of us already mentioned Noblesa Gaucha as a medium mate. You guys have experience with that? I think, Dan, you had experience with it, right?
Yeah. I've had that quite a bit for a while. It was like the only kind of mate I could find. It's kind of interesting. It was like I was in Chile in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got accustomed to the mate. And when I got back here, it was really hard to find. I used to have to have my friends in Chile ship it to me. It was quite expensive.
Yeah.
And eventually I started finding it into like some little Mexican tiendas around here.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. It also was one of the ones I could find quite often. But then Noblesa Gaucha.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few other ones that I tried over the year. Armando was another one of those that you could find sometimes.
Yeah.
La Hoja, that was another one.
Yeah.
But it was like, we ended up trying quite a few. That'd be the only thing I'd have in stock, so I'd want to have at least some in the house. And I actually tried Rosamonte original, the original one.
Yeah.
When I first tried it, I really did not like it. Like, I don't know, I had a lot of the metallic taste. It was really kind of like made my tongue tingle.
Yeah.
And this was having canarias too.
Uh-huh.
Going to Rosamonte, I'm like, whoa, I don't like this. And it wasn't until like 5 years after I've been drinking mate on a regular basis that I went back and tried Rosamonte again. And it didn't have the same effect on me, and it was quite normal. And then I got into the Rosamonte Especial from a friend that has an Argentine restaurant here where I live, and I tried that out, and I've been drinking that for probably the last 6 years.
Wow, that's crazy that you say that, because that's basically what happened to me when I first tried Rosamonte. I don't know if anybody ever, I had a video online about it years ago. I think I took it down since, but the first time I had Rosamonte, just like you, Especial. And I thought I kind of liked it, but then I didn't like it. It was weird. It was just way too, like you said, it had a metallic taste, and it was super rich, and it kind of just threw off my taste buds, and I left one for a year ago. And the traditional one, for me, it actually kind of grew on me. I kind of like it, the traditional Rosamonte. It kind of works for me. It's not over the top. I don't know if they changed their methods or if my palate just evolved over the years. Maybe a combination of both. But
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's not the same thing.
Right.
The name is Rosamonte.
Yes.
Very, I think it's yeah, it's an Argentine cut. It's probably one of the most popular brands in Argentina, I would say. That with Tatagui.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the most.
Weird, because here in Brazil, we don't find, like, so many kinds of mates from other wine mates, especially from Brazil and, like, the region.
Yeah.
Where they are from, so.
And that's where my knowledge is very weak in terms of the local. From what I understand from my friends in Brazil, there's dozens upon dozens of these little local mates that are produced just for, you know, local markets there that they don't seem to be exporting them outside of the country. So I would love to just go to Brazil. I mean, I've been there already, but when I was there, I wasn't drinking mate. But I'd love to go back and just really learn about all these little local brands of mate and kind of build up a palate for that, because I only know about 5 or 6 Brazilian brands, but the ones that I usually refer to are the ones that are grown in Brazil for the Uruguayan market, not the ones that are grown in Brazil for the Brazilian market, which are totally two different things.
Yeah, it's just like that, but it's kind of, everyone talks about, like you guys, like Canarias and Cruzamala and other kinds of markets, but people find here. Brazil.
Mm-hmm. And do you want them in Brazil?
Yeah, I want to try that, but I don't find it. I would need to buy from the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you ever tried like an Argentine mate, David?
No, actually not. I tried a mate, like Brazilian mate, but called Barão de Capitigipe. That is one of the kinds that they export. there was Uruguayan type. So it was a Brazilian type of mate that had the taste of the Uruguayan. So whatever.
Okay. I just suspect that you have the same type of, like I said, when I first tried Brazilian, you know, the Sherba Mate, it was a lot different than what I was expecting. And I'd have a second pour before I really enjoyed it. And then I really got that the flavor out of it and really liked it. It was a completely different taste than what I was used to. And I suspect you might have the same type of effect, because it's such a different taste compared to, you know, to each other.
Mm. Totally. I don't know if you guys had a mate factor. That was the that was my first Brazilian mate I've ever had. I think it was I had that mate back in 2010 for the first time. And I'll admit it, I loved it. I thought it was great. Like, my mate palate was very underdeveloped at the time, but I was in love with mate factor, and you know, I was lucky enough with the company to be sending me mate at the time. And but nowadays, if I try mate factor, it seems like very weak to me. Like, the taste goes away very quickly. But that's usually, if you guys probably know more about this than I do, but that seems to be typical of very fresh mates from Brazil. They don't have a long cycle. They kind of flatline the taste.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, exactly. And then it just kind of tastes like flavored water.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why I say if you're going to drink Brazilian mate, the Chimarrão, you got to just appreciate the taste while it lasts, because it doesn't seem to last that long. But, you know, maybe that's why they put a lot in the cuias. They just pack the cuias with the sherba. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started doing that. I was packing it the way your one friend that had the video showed that. And, you know, you just put it on top and you put the water on the bottom. So
yeah.
I started packing it more traditional side, where you just put it all to one side and put... Which is, you can get more problematic on, you know, getting it plugged, but it kept the flavor longer because it kept soaking into the side and should last longer.
One kind of mate from Brazil that lasts a little bit longer is the, like, moída grossa.
Moída grossa, the medium cut, right?
Yeah, there's different taste in the video. It has, like, a stronger taste.
And that makes sense, because the Moída Grossa is more like, I would say, like a Cruz de Malta in terms of the cut. You know, from what I understand, that means basically like a medium cut, where you're still going to get the chopped up leaves and you're still going to get powder, but it's not fully powder like the pure polvo. I don't know how to say that in Portuguese, but the one that's just pure powder.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. So, you guys have any... Sorry, brother. What'd you say, Dan?
Oh, I just said that Moto Grosso, that's the one that actually has some leach.
Yeah.
All powders, okay.
And I found that interesting because I didn't know until a couple of years ago that Brazil had these sort of categorizations of cuts, basically, where they have the pure leaf, the pura fala, I believe it's called in Portuguese, pura fala. My Portuguese is horrible. And then the moída grossa, and then they have the one that's just I think they have one called traditional. I don't know, tradicional now. I forgot how to say that in Portuguese. And so those are like the three major cuts, I would say. And I think, like in Argentina, that these cuts are actually regulated by law. I don't know if you guys know this, but in Argentina, there's actually a law that says if a mate has palos, it cannot exceed 35% content of the dry weight of each pound. And if mate is said to have no palos in it, it cannot exceed, I believe, 10%. So there's these laws that actually govern the cuts of these mates, based upon how they're going to describe them. Yeah.
Brazil doesn't have.
Oh, they don't? I thought Brazil had these three categories called, like...
No. They have the category.
Yeah.
Part of like a law.
Oh, okay. I thought there was. Yes.
And like the law is from the whole country, so they don't have the law just for the two countries.
But what about that whole thing where they have this? And again, my knowledge on the local Brazilian mate is still kind of shaky, but I thought that they had this thing called like a PUI or a PL something that determines the mixture of leaves to polo ratio. I thought there was some sort of classification that they had to adhere to. I forgot the name of it. Is that it?
There's a classification, but it's not like...
It's not a law. Oh, I see.
No, it's just because there's PM1, PM2, PM3.
Wow.
PM2, I think there's half a half.
Mm-hmm.
PM1, I think there's more leaves.
Yeah.
And PM3 is like basically just the seeds and all the stuff.
Wow. This is crazy because... It seems like, just as a little side note, I just found out the other day that that the guy that runs the entire international has watched all of the Circle of Drink videos of everybody, all these circles. He's actually watching these. So it's interesting how these people who are actually running, you know, different organizations are looking at Circle of Drink now and saying, wow, you know, this is something new in terms of the community international where people are talking about mate. So, you know, when I found out about that, I thought that was really awesome that somebody who runs the entire Argentine Yerba Mate institution is listening to us, you know, Yerba Mate. You know, I think about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when I just got involved with mate, I didn't really see these sort of communities. Maybe I just didn't know about them. But now, you know, I see more people talking about mate. I see more mate companies popping up. A lot of people are putting mate in cans now. Just over the past 2 years, mate companies putting mate in cans, like YIQ has done. So, no, it's definitely changing.
Yeah, Mate Bros, another one or something like that.
Yeah, Mate Bros. And then there's another one called Mate Energy. And that one, they use mate. They actually use the mate's cousin, which is Wayusa. So it's a cousin to mate, Wayusa.
Yeah, that's cool that everybody, that people are watching the videos for to look at the marketing trends and see what they can do to sell mate.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Absolutely.
That's nice. Especially in Brazil or in China, where like in Uruguay, the culture of Yerba Mate is very like spread, you know. Every place you go, people are drinking mate, and they talk about mate, they discuss about mate. And it's nice that now in other countries like the U.S., and I think that Spain also drinks a lot, Mexico, and they are like spreading, you know, the word.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's even gotten a lot bigger in Chile. When I was down in Chile, there was like one brand you could get, and it was a Brazilian cut, but they didn't work. Or otherwise, you get it from Argentina. So you have to have a friend to bring it over the border. So they didn't sell it in the shop. But nowadays, they have their own brand of mate that they come from Argentina and Brazil. And then they also import all the stuff from Uruguay and Argentina because that's their favorite type. But it's changed so much just in those years. When I was down in Chile at first, I only knew like maybe 1 in 20 people that drank mate.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like it's changed a lot.
Wow.
More popular.
That's a beautiful thing to see, you know. Even here in New York, I'm seeing more, these little tiendas, these little bodegas, what we call them over here, where there's more, you know, mate on the shelves there, you know, especially I got mate and trusted it because it's such a powerful herb, especially when you compare it. If they had known about mate, I believe that there'd be so many more mate drinkers out there. If they really knew that, you know, mate was on that level, if not higher, you know, in terms of stimulation, in terms of health benefits. It's just that people don't know about mate yet. It's so new still, even though, you know, here in the States, Guayaquil's been around since, what, 1996? Ecotea's been around since 1999. And still, you know, Circle of Drink has been around since 2011. And it's still a very small amount of people. There's no statistics whatsoever on how many mate drinkers there are in the United States. No statistics at all. So it's just new territory.
It is. And, you know, it's one of the things I found out, like, when I introduced mate to the people, the first thing, oh, I don't drink it with sugar. So I just drink
yeah,
it straight.
Yeah, Amargo.
Which is, it's hard. Yeah, Amargo. And a lot of people have a hard time. They always want to filter. And I mean, I used to drink it both and I didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
So it's funny when I